In a data perspective, yeah.
No worries.
Yeah. I probably need more prep for that.
Hey everybody, welcome to Drive to HR, Brian William and Nisha on every day talking with folks getting HR done in some way and or perspective out there. And so I want to get to our guest as quickly as possible. Scott, welcome to Drive Through HR.
It's great to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me. You too, Nisha.
Hey, and just be you and us today, so that's
okay.
And apologize for giving you a slight heart attack before we went on that show. We'll save that up for next time and more than like 10 seconds past you if you wanted to have a conversation, you know, one topical area. So my apologies on that. So if you would, introduce yourself and we'll kick it off and jump right into what's top of mind.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me. Scott Mondor, a little background. I'm a co-managing partner of a business called Strategic Management Decisions. We focus on talent management, technology, and consulting, particularly around any processes that we have on our platform, pretty much from hiring to all the way through to succession planning and everything in between, really linking that data to real business outcomes, and then really showing every manager in every report that they get exactly what to work on that has the biggest impact, again, on real business outcomes like profit, revenue, productivity, those types of things. So a little bit different spin on maybe what's out there, but been doing that for a while now, for about 5.5 years. Before that with UPS and Maersk, even stepped out of HR for a few years and ran strategy for a ocean freight company called Maersk, and did some light consulting work before starting our own consulting firm. Like I said, about, Brian, you'll appreciate this, right around after Lehman Brothers crashed, my business partner and I decided to leave our cushy, well-paying jobs and start a consulting business. So we like to think it was good timing now, but probably a little crazy back then. So, and we've also written a couple of books on the topic of HR analytics and linking HR data to business outcomes through SHRM. So I got to tell you that, so you might think I know what the heck I'm talking about. So
we'll see. Well, I want to reserve after the show, right?
That's right. Very good. I just figured I'd set a little bit of an expectation. So.
Yeah, bad call on that. We tend not to be prepared, and we don't script things. We're very organic is what we call that. When you're unprepared, it's called organic now.
Well, right. Like if you listen carefully, I said I might know what I'm talking about. So you have to hear
that's
the whole
good.
Thing. So.
There's enough. See, that's I. All I heard is no. That's
no.
All I heard. I heard so I'm like knowledgeable. See, there's got to be this iteration of knowledgeable. That's all I heard. So we're already we're going down an interesting path already. So. Well, I do have a question, and I'm probably gonna phrase it a little different. Well, it kind of goes a different lane. Kind of based on your background and research, especially being a data guy and analytics and everything, when you have like major events, like we'll kind of point to kind of like 9/11 or some major like social events, because how does that affect or does it affect at all like job like workforce engagement, levels of satisfaction, different things actually in the workplace that you see across profitability, retention, just some of the overall metrics you're measuring in a workforce?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the metric. I mean, we're not big fans of engagement because I think it's poorly defined, and I think we're chasing something that doesn't really exist. And it used to be called empowerment. It used to be called satisfaction, commitment, But in terms, if you look at engagement, you know, events like 9/11 or an economic crash, absolutely they're going to have an impact on the workforce. You know, productivity numbers are way up, but not because of a good reason. It's because nobody's hiring, right? They're not replacing after attrition. So, and if you look at that Gallup study that came out, I mean, heck, we haven't made any progress in engagement in a dozen years, which makes you wonder, what is it that we work on? In a dozen years, we've gone through a 9/11. We've gone through an economic downturn, then an economic crash, and some recovery and really high times in between, you could argue. And we're still kind of where we were a dozen years ago on something like engagement. You know, obviously profitability goes up and down, and productivity can go up and down, but we're still kind of where we are, and we may have either tapped out or we're not focused on the right thing. But again, if you look at the big companies that do it right, whether it's on career development, succession, even surveying their people and doing leadership development, the ones that do it right stay at a high level, even when you have instances of great shock in the economy or in society. It's kind of like looking at good stocks over the past 100 years. Sure, they've had some up and downs in between, but they've been on a steady rise, you know, forever, because they're well run, they do it right every day, and it doesn't have a big impact. So the data typically, you know, cream rises to the top, but, you know, you have to really take into account some of those shocks in the near term. Even a union strike can be big, obviously. But the recovery time is, do you stick to what you're doing? Do you do the right things? Do you use the data to your advantage and actually use data in the moment so you're working on the right things in that moment to really get things moving, you know, again, back on track and then, of course, focused on the future. So I hope that answers your question, Brian.
Yeah, no, it actually takes us even a little bit deeper. So let's take engagement off the table, and I absolutely, we're two for two. I completely agree with you. I think it's one of those things that if you consistently measure things for 12 years and you can't make a difference, then obviously you're asking the wrong question, first of all, and then secondly, it's just effed up. I mean, what a waste of actual energy and insight that just absolutely you can't crack the code on that. But it's a very accepted way that everybody's doing. I feel everybody's doing what they think they should do, right? Which I don't think is a bad thing, because it could be worse, of course. But again, managing down expectations is probably not a good life or business practice. So,
well, you know, I mean,
how do we redo that, by the way?
You know, when we talk about engagement, I mean, look, it's not, like you said, it's not a bad thing. Finding out if people are proud to work for you or don't want to leave, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, and it's really not a bad metric. The problem is it's become more one of those where it's the only metric. Anything we do is going to, quote-unquote, drive engagement, whatever that means. The problem is that when you can't define it, we've known what the definition of profit is since companies have been around. Every company has their own definition of engagement. So if there's no real definition, that hurts your credibility right out of the gates. The second thing is there's no right number. There's no magic number where nirvana happens. On a 5-point survey scale, is it 4.7 that the heavens open up and money starts falling out of the sky for your company? There is none. It's just, we need more, I guess. And Gallup doesn't know. Anybody who says they do a survey, they don't know. It's just more is better. But the thing that really kills the credibility is that when you go to a frontline manager who's making widgets or saving lives or digging ditches, whatever, and they don't know what that is, then they have no time for it, won't spend any time on it, will pretty much roll their eyes once you're out of the room, because they want to talk about, give me some tools that I can actually make more money with, or reduce my turnover, or, you know, grow, sell more, whatever it is. And that's why we kind of go down the road of why use this intermediary thing called engagement when you can get your financial data and look at how HR impacts financial data and kind of skip this middleman of happiness. When, remember, it's still a job. You can't make anybody happy at work. It's still work. Everybody would still rather be home with their kids or their dog. But that's what we've kind of focused on, is this magical potion called engagement. And the thing is, in a few years, we'll have some new word. I mean, there's some big firms out there. Now they're talking about sustained engagement and some other kind of engagement that I heard about. And it's like, well, why don't we get the first one right before we start remarketing it again and repackaging it again? So that's kind of a one thing I said frustrates us and keeps us up at night. It's also been the bellwether of our business to talk about business outcomes versus just things like engagement.
Sure, and like you said, what's interesting is just high level observation, very obviously anecdotal, mm-hmm. is profit. The measurement of profit, the business side of the conversation around any organization is pretty well defined. Budget, I mean, you know,
sure.
the ones and the zeros, the X's and the O's, however you want to say it, has been around for a long, long time. It makes sense because we all have checkbooks and we all have bank statements, so we know that when there's less money in there than we need, then we're in trouble. So the concept is not far-reaching to understand. What is really interesting is a lot of the metrics and how that information is used. Like, again, not enough money. I didn't put enough money in the account. The account now needs that money. What am I going to do? Easy equation. So I'm measuring this metric. We don't have, you know, we've got a complete bottleneck in our supply chain to accomplish the next 3 years of development, to use kind of the tech or the engineering or whatever, what do we do? How come that's not a more prevalent conversation? Because it seems like an easy concept to me, but it's not a well-embraced concept to think in supply chain from an HR or talent management perspective.
Yeah, you know, and the supply chain are just focused on the ones and the zeros versus, you know, some nebulous metrics. It's amazing that it isn't thought through more or focused on by HR, because you don't have to have a statistics degree or have a financial MBA to talk about profit and revenue. All you really need to do is connect dots and show how what you're doing impacts numbers that people care about. I mean, I can read a P&L and a balance sheet, but you don't want me being your CFO. But we do just fine pointing out how things link to those dollars and cents. I think what surprises me is that HR folks, they always get nervous around the CFO, that the CFO is this person who's going to just destroy their methodology, et cetera. And what I think HR people need to realize, and whether it's supply chain or just talking about dollars and cents, is that CFOs, marketers, they make decisions on far less data and a hell of a lot more assumptions in their algorithms than HR could ever come close to. So it's not like they're doing physics back there or chemistry where they have the laws of finance. They're using assumptions in their algorithms to build stores, to make major investments. Sometimes it's based on market research where they have 2% of the population, if they're lucky, on trends and things like that to make actual decisions. In HR, you can get 80% of people on an employee survey without batting an eye. You've got a ton of data that's a lot more valid, et cetera, to make those connections. So for me, HR people should not only be not scared of the CFO and talking about dollars and cents, they should aggressively go after it because their data is actually better. It's not soft data. It's real human data. You know, it's the real thing. And in terms of a supply chain, you know, it's a beautiful analogy. Just having worked for two big supply chain companies like UPS and Maersk, you know, they have to be precise at every step of the way or else the whole thing breaks apart. And they know what the whole thing looks like. It's either the package gets there or it doesn't. But you can know exactly where things break down and fix those things in pieces and still make sure that the outcome is true and right. And if HR looks at their life cycle across the board, whether it's recruiting and then the hiring process, onboarding, they have data at every step of the way. All they have to do is connect it to things that people actually care about, not engagement, but, you know, high performer turnover, profit, revenue, whatever. They can fix each one of those and then focus on the key areas that actually matter in each one of those steps. And then ultimately make succession and talent decisions based on the business drivers at every piece of the employee life cycle instead of just relying on potential ratings and a talent review meeting and a 9 box, which can be, you know, nebulous and subjective in itself.
So why such an, I mean, the way that you just articulated it, I just don't understand why everybody wouldn't want to do it that way. Why is it such an uphill battle to get all the dots connected? Because all the information is sitting somewhere in a system in a company mm-hmm. of any size at all. I mean, it has
yeah.
to be.
It's there, or the other thing is it's easily gettable. I mean, if you don't do an onboarding survey, you can start doing one in a couple of weeks if you wanted to. The data is there. I mean, here's what I'll tell you is it's hard. It's hard work to pull that data together, to line it up, and then do some analysis. Now, the work itself is hard. It's easy to get done, though. You can outsource it. You can find a professor. You can find a grad student, do this kind of analytical work. But nobody's thinking that way. So HR is kind of – and I'm an HR professional, so I don't want to sound like I'm dogging on HR, but they're not asking – the tough questions of either the vendors that are out there or the CEO is not asking them the tough questions. Because right now, the only thing you want in HR is cheap, easier, and faster. And we never talk about the business value of implementing a big HRIS system. Is it cheaper? Is it easier? And can I run a million more reports? And really, that they're focused on the wrong things. You know, cheap and easy is not something you probably want to be described as a person, but that's how we – quantify the impact versus saying, you know, I don't blame HR either, because you have to have somewhat of a researcher's background to say, gee, I didn't know we could connect our employee survey data to actual business results and then share it with our management team and focus on the right things. You know, you don't just wake up in the morning thinking that way. But right now, they should be not only thinking that way, but demanding it out of whoever they're using for those different products, because there hasn't been much innovation in this area. And I tell people all the time, you know, automation is not innovation. I mean, we're just able to kind of do it online now. All right, well, that's great. It's just getting us better at a bad game of churning out reports, you know, checking the box, tracking participation rate instead of business impact. But again, HR, just the skills are out there. They're easily gettable. You can find them. The key is that we can't run down these rabbit holes again like we do with engagement, where it's the end-all, be-all. Or analytics is starting to make me nervous, because if you throw something in Excel and slap a filter on it, you say you're doing analytics when you're really not. You're just kind of cutting, slicing and dicing data. Real analytics is bringing in the business outcome data. And I'm just terrified that we're going to get down this rabbit hole again with HR of analytics is the end-all, be-all, when we're not really showing a whole lot of value. We're just running more reports, or we're making prettier PowerPoint presentations versus sitting down with a frontline manager and say, hey, look, work on these five things for me and you'll start making more money, which is really the conversation we should be having with our leaders.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think what's fascinating, and I think the other side of it is the fact that you have the business leaders who aren't stepping up to the plate and saying, we've got to have this. Can you help me do this? I mean, so the conversation, obviously, HR is kind of the uphill battle. I mean, you're pushing, like, trying to mm-hmm. connect the dots uphill, and you have a tremendous lack, which I want to get your thought process on this. You have a tremendous lack of pushing it, you know, trying to push it downhill from a leadership perspective, from the CFO, CEO, the leadership team, on why can't we have this all connected? I mean, that's as much a void, maybe even more, because they actually have the ability to write the check to cover mm-hmm. that and actually manage the stakeholder group to do that. So what's the issue with leadership that they just don't, you know, get this thing going the direction it needs to go?
You know, I mean, that's a great question. Is, you know, there was a recent blog about, you know, HR needs to kind of step up to the plate. And one of my responses was the CEO is not putting the right pressure on HR. They're just kind of getting what they get, and they're okay with that. And they're just a cost center. And as long as they keep trying to reduce cost and do things a little quicker, then that's the value that they bring. So, I mean, I kind of put some blame at the feet of CEOs who don't demand that kind of work, who just like to say, well, our engagement scores are good. We're in the 95th percentile. People are our most important asset, and that makes them enlightened and good. And we do a lot of leadership development, et cetera. So there's a lot of checking the boxes. What I don't see is maybe they don't know about it. Maybe it's a little bit of a lack of awareness, but it's almost like the vendors out there are filling a need rather than creating a want, where They're getting enough for HR to not be completely outsourced and fired. It's they're doing what they need to keep them afloat, and they haven't been held accountable. I mean, really, when you sit in the senior team meeting and the CEO doesn't say, well, why don't we know exactly what's driving turnover and exactly what you're doing from a people perspective to drive profit in this business? Can you imagine if a CEO said that to a head of HR? It doesn't seem that, I mean, he's going to say it to every other leader at the table. Why not HR? Why not the HR leader? And so the CEO either needs to get educated that they can do that. And again, there's a researcher's mind behind that that needs to take place. But at the same time, the tools, you know, have to be simple so that you can see value and you can see action, which is kind of that other piece is it's not just the CEO. It's the folks on the front line need to start demanding a little bit more than just employee relations help out of HR folks. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's companies out there are talking about using big data and making pretty pictures with HR data. Again, limited value. It seems like progress, but if your ultimate goal is to create prettier pictures, that doesn't seem like a business outcome. And the folks on the front line will never see that PowerPoint if it's only presented to the CEO. It's got to be the big data has to be done right, analytics done right, and then brought directly to a frontline manager and literally put into their whatever, survey report, 360, et cetera, so they can see the business impact. Without that, then it's just a nice meeting with a lot of, you know, chin stroking of, oh, that's very interesting, you know, and then you move on to the next topic, you know. That's kind of where we are now. I mean, pretty pictures is not going to cut it. It sounds cool. We're running down that rabbit hole really fast. But for us, if I can't go to a frontline manager, kind of a surly guy or girl who doesn't have time for this people stuff, you know, and say, look, you don't have to make your people happier. You don't have to, you know, buy them pizza every Friday. Just focus on a little bit more feedback, a little bit more career development, and they will stay with you and they will work harder. Pretty simple. That's the kind of conversation that we want to have with leaders using data versus you got to get your engagement score up another point. I don't know what that means. I still don't know what that means. I've been studying it for 20 years. So, sorry.
Oh, my God. No, it's a fair, you know, and again, it's definitely all, you know, moving things by a point really, I mean, you start taking the people component out of it. And I've got some, you know, I don't think they're that lofty of ideas. And first of all, let me do a quick reset. Everybody listening to Brian Scott on Drive Through HR talking a little bit about analytics and data and engagement or lack of engagement or what is engagement, as well as business drivers. So what, you know, what I do see, I mean, there are the organizations that I personally feel are incredibly well run are the ones that the actual leadership team, specifically the CEO, has a good idea about their entire people process, right? They have been involved in continually architecting, re-architecting, looking at what, you know, what the people component of their business, and mainly those are pretty client-facing businesses. The one that I have in mind specifically is QuickTrip, based out of here, out of Tulsa, right? $10 billion privately held family business that is, you know, that actually does, it's so funny, they've got framed, and the CEO actually confirmed that this was the case, that they, you know, they were having some issues, and when they were in big, you know, one of the growth modes, and they sent out a no asshole letter to the whole company, the founder did, and he basically said, look, you know, that's not what we're about, and if you're an asshole, we will find you and fire you. That's the bottom line. Is you need to, you know, the culture is not that. We're here to help people. We're here to provide opportunity for both the community and everybody that walks in the door, plus every single, you know, person. And you know what? Culturally, years later, I mean, they're a big company now, and it is, you know, you just get the vibe when you walk into the place that they actually give a shit about what they're doing, right? I mean, it's consistent. It's consistent in Atlanta, Dallas, Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, all over when I walk in a QuickTrip. And you know what? Chet, their CEO is involved. He's got a lot of people, and they're a big company. They got a lot of people, but you know what? He is involved, as well as the leadership team, looking at the talent, the bench strength, you know, providing opportunity, involved in, you know, involved in salaries and market and everything. He's involved in all aspects of the business. And that, I think, is the gigantic difference. Vested and involved, and he makes time for it. So that is my conviction of leadership in the world right there. So.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, if HR people would focus on business outcomes, then some of the CEOs that aren't as enlightened as that gentleman that you were talking about at Quick Trip, they would also care. Because even if they don't care about people, you know they care about money. And that's how you get that other half, you know. If the other half of the leadership, the leader, you know, the workforce who don't believe in it, so to speak, well, they still, I bet, like hitting their numbers. So show them how you're going to help them hit their numbers, and they'll get on board just because they like hitting their numbers, right? So anybody who's pushing back,
sure,
they're going to have no more reason to push back, and you get everybody in the boat then, which is great. You don't have to wait for an enlightened CEO to come around to get it done.
Do you have any? And I, you know, shocking, I have an opinion on this, but do you have a specific industry that you see a nice trajectory, positive trajectory or trend, and them doing a better job in incorporating kind of, you know, analytics, business outcomes, people metrics, all into a well-run culture?
You know what? It amazingly, not where one industry has just taken off with it. Quite frankly, I think you'd be surprised that it's not necessarily the tech industries. A lot of work in transportation, healthcare in particular on the people side. I know they do a lot of analytics on all the other pieces, but you know, we've seen a lot of work where healthcare is under the gun with their reimbursements being cut if they don't create a good patient experience as measured by a survey called the HCAHPS survey. And if they don't hit the right numbers, they lose Medicaid and Medicare reimbursement dollars. So there's now a financial reason for them to work on their, you know, their patient satisfaction. Well, what's one of the key drivers of that? It's typically, you know, the people who are taking care of those patients. So they now look at, you know, we work with them. We'll do, say, an employee survey, and we'll say, look, here are the areas that are driving that HCAHPS number from an employee perspective. Here's what you've got to work on. And guess what? If we can move this needle here, then we'll move the HCAHPS needle, and you'll actually save yourself lots of money in reimbursements. And you'd be amazed how quickly a CFO can pull out the checkbook and do HR stuff if they see an actual business case for it and see the connection. And then you go to every nurse manager and say, hey, just work on these couple of things, and this will help us with this patient sat stuff, and we can all keep our jobs, right? So they're starting to make that connection, but a lot of the other industries, you know, grocery, retail, transportation, are all big ones for us because they also have a lot of data, and they track everything, by the way, which helps us make those connections for them. But anybody who is kind of tired of chasing engagement or just checking the box, we've seen them come on board, and from huge Fortune 5 companies to companies that have 40 people. I think when they're ready, and then they find the tools where they can bring it to the masses and say, all right, we figured out what we've got to do to run the business here a little bit better from the HR perspective. And that's at least from our business, talking about our business a little bit, is that's how we differentiate as we talk about business results instead of just, you know, features and benefits and how many different reports we can run. It's here's how you do your 360, and then we'll figure out which behaviors and competencies drive results. Once people hear that message and they want to drive results, then they come on board. But to answer your question, any industry is good to take it on, but I haven't seen one that's spurred it a little bit ahead of the others. And I think that's a good thing because you don't want to always be chasing other organizations. You got to do what's working for you.
Well, and we've only got about a minute left. 30 minutes goes fast when we're having a good conversation.
Wow.
So, you know, the industry that stands out to me truly, and I think is making some big strides, is the restaurant, multi-unit restaurant industry.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing some really interesting things because of all the social technology they've had to incorporate to market and brand advocacy. I think there's some really, really interesting things that they're able to start tying in on per check to engagement to scheduling to a lot of different things. And so that was my one opinion. So, Scott, we've only got about 30 seconds left here. So where can folks connect with you? And then we're out for today. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it. Well, our website is smdhr.com, so it's for Strategic Management Decisions, HR, so smdhr.com. You can find all our stuff. We're also on Twitter at smdhr, and then my name at Scott Mondor. They can get to us that way, and we're always doing social, webinar, all that stuff. So our stuff is out there, and you can learn more there. I do appreciate it, Brian. It's been great.
Well, good, great conversation, folks. Hope you get a listen as you download it, and we're out of here for today.